Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you, man. And last week we were talking about getting in the boat with Jesus. And Jesus was rocking the boat. And it was radical because we see how when our eyes are off the Lord, man, we sink. And we sink so deep that we cry out to God to save us, man. And that's really what it's about, crying out to God when we get into these situations that we see that we can't get out of. And the Lord Jesus loves us. And He wants us to have that personal relationship with Him. Listen, believers, we know that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we know this because He wouldn't have made us for no reason. And so, Lord, we thank You for this. And we ask, Lord, that You, Jesus, send Your Holy Spirit today as we gather around and read Your Bible, Father, Your Word. We ask that your Holy Spirit, Father, like John 14 says, come and aid us and teach us all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. Last week, man, Jesus was, he went to the mountain and he went there to pray by himself. And evening came, he was alone there, but that boat was now in the middle of the sea and it was being tossed by the waves from the wind. And it was contrary, the word says. And Jesus basically reached out and he told Peter, you know, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, man, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And what's radical is, you know, when Jesus or when Peter seen the wind, it was all psycho, man. It was getting crazy and boisterous. He was afraid. And he began to sink because he knew that his eyes were off the Lord. He focused on the trial. He was focusing on that nasty wind, that nasty obstacle that caused him to sink. And he was looking at the trial. And he wasn't looking at how he could get out of the trial and what ways he could focus on the trial, like James chapter 1 says. He was being tossed to and fro, like it says in Matthew. And he was caught up in that raging water throwing him around. And I really don't think he was worried about sinking. I really think he was worried about drowning. I mean, believe it or not, a lot of people drowned. And it's very sad. And so I had a friend that drowned to death. And you know, it's a big fear. But this is what happened. And he focused on the sinking and drowning and he began to cry out, save me. And so we talked about that last week, how immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And the reason why Jesus said that, it was because he was saying, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Believers, keep your eyes on me, Jesus said. Keep it on me so that when you get into these problems financially or physically illnesses or cancers or whatever it may be, keep your eye on me. And when you're sinking, you may sink. Yeah, you're going to sink. We're all going to sink, man. We're all going to get to that bottom out part in life, but we're going to sink knowing that Christ is in control of every situation. And number two, he's going to reveal the sinkers in our life. He's going to reveal the ones who are trying to sink us. They like to latch on to your family and your friends. And they're sinkers, man. They don't have Christ. They want to bring you to the bar and get you drunk and sink you. And it feels good. And then finally, you don't know where you're at anymore. And you're confused. It's like you're in the woods. You know how many people died last year in the forests? In the national parks last? I want you guys to Google it. Grizzly bears eat people. People drowned because they don't plan on how they're going to spend their camping. Yeah, they retire, they go into the forest, and they die. Every day in America. This is what this scripture is talking about, where we need to focus on the Father and rely on Him for everything. And so we get caught up on that. And we begin to sink, and then when we're passed out drunk, and we start to cry out and act dumb. But what happens is believers don't fall into this addiction. this trick. The devil plays mind tricks. And he tries to get your eyes off of the Lord Jesus. And that's when we have the problems. And when they got into the boat, listen to this, man. Jesus said, oh, you little faith, if you would have just trusted in me and not your thoughts, because the Bible says that our desires will lead us astray, our feelings. And the Bible says, look to the Father, because don't trust in anybody else, but trust in the Word of God, because it never returns void. So we see how the Bible is real. And we see how Jesus is given this commandment, oh, of you of little faith, and why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. It stopped. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Here we see Jesus giving this explanation. And when they had crossed over in verse 34, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. You know, there's a story in Luke chapter 8 where the woman is wanting to be touched. She's hemorrhaging, and she's hemorrhaging real bad, bleeding real bad, and nobody can fix her. And nobody probably wants to be around her. And it says in Luke 8, verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come into his house. For he had only his daughter about 12 years of age, she was dying. Remember that story? But listen to this. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. And now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, bleeding for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians' doorsteps, basically, and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her blood flow stopped, and Jesus said, who touched me? You see? We see how Christ heals. He knows. Look, he already knows. Someone's praying to me. Somebody wants to be touched. He already knows. Look, check it out. Listen. And when all denied it, listen to this. Jesus said, who touched me? And everybody denied it. Peter and those who with him said, Master, the multitude strong and press you. And then you say, who touched me? Basically, everyone's touching you, man. And no, look it. This is crazy. Believers, listen. He already knew who touched him. And there was hundreds of people touching him. But he knew that one person was wanting to be healed. Listen, it's radical, man. I'm excited. Because you may be praying right now. And we talked about that last week. About prayer. Not to buy cars without your wife's permission. But you may be praying for something. And you don't think you're being heard. Oh, well, nobody cares. I'm not heard. Well, Jesus Christ hears you. Watch. Believers, listen to this. It's radical. Luke chapter 8, verse 45. He says, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those who with him said, you know, all kinds of people are touching you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. For I perceived power going out from me. And now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And that's the faith he was talking about with Peter in the boat. He's saying, Peter, you don't got to trip out, man. You don't got to panic. You don't got to worry. I'm going to open the door for you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be part of somebody's circle. It's a circle of lies. It's a clique. Well, I'm not good enough to be part of your circle. I don't care. I don't want to be part of anyone's circles. I'm outside the circle, man. I'm all about Jesus Christ and where we need to be for him. You know, you go to a church and there's a big clique. Oh, this is our clique of people. Dude, get over it. We're all sheep. Y'all got to love each other. You know? Well, she has this and he has that. He don't have this and he has that. Listen, believers, Jesus is telling this woman, oh, look at you. You have such good faith. And this is what he's talking about to Peter. Quit tripping out, man, when there's a problem. Trust in me. Just touch my hem. Boom, I'll heal you. And like I said years ago, I was working in the hospital and there was a kid, he was wanting to be healed and everybody prayed over him. I prayed over him and he got healed. And another woman seen it and she wanted her daughter healed. I said, I'm not Jesus, lady. I suck. I'm a blow it. I'll pray, but we got to have faith. It's our faith in God that he sees. And I really believe this world is just a test of the emergency broadcast system. And you're here for a temporary time. You know, you go to these big old churches and they look pretty with their lollipop strobe lights and their, you know, their beautiful rainbow and pump you up. And then they ask for your money. Well, that's not nice to say. And then they preach about feely, touchy, happy messages just to make you happy. We know you can do all things in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, you are positive thinking today. Remember, get up and be positive. Man, that comes with the Holy Spirit, bro. Listen, if we're led by the Spirit, we don't got to worry about that. Believers, Peter was rocking, man. He failed, but he got back up. And even in the end, he was crucified upside down because he felt so bad for betraying Jesus. Remember that? I wouldn't say betray, but he denied him. Listen, believers, it's radical. He knows who touched him. He knows he healed. Listen, go back to chapter 15, almost 14, and it says here in verse 34, when he had crossed over there, they crossed over there, but in the end, he said, verse 35, and when the men of that place recognized him. It isn't until we recognize him. They sent out all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched it, they were made perfectly well. Isn't that amazing? Because we are sick before we come to Christ. And we think we have it going on when things are going good. Listen, believers, the Lord will allow you to go through so much drama because you think life is so sweet and special because you have everything that you need and you're comfortable. That's not the way, bro. That's not Christianity. Comfortable. You know, God wants us to get out there and be about his business. Listen, believers, if you get your eyes off the Lord, I guarantee Satan's going to get his eyes on your family. That's exactly what's going to happen, and you're going to wish to God you stayed on your eyes on the Lord, man. believe me, if you only knew what Pastor Yo sees, you would be latching on to that hymn of the Lord. Look, believers, chapter 15 talks about the debate of the tradition, and I know that well, believe me. Then the scribes in chapter 15 of Matthew says, and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, they came to Jesus. Now the Pharisees, remember these Pharisees, man, they weren't happy. They wanted to rip Jesus apart. They couldn't stand Jesus. They were Pharisees and hypocrites. And they were saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do they try to the Moses law? It's going to go back to the halacha in Hebrew, the law. This is the Jewish law that I know very well, because I lived in Israel and I studied the law. And for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And so a lot of people don't understand. Well, in Judaism, when you wash your hands, you before you eat and you bruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam and so forth, and goes on the prayer. You know, it says lift up your hands and be thankful. But the thing here is, we see they're trying to trip up Jesus again. And that's what's going to happen. Listen, people are going to try to trip up your walk. They're going to see that you're walking with Jesus, and they're going to start questioning you. You see? They're going to start thinking, oh, you know, and they're going to start accusing, because that's what they do well, to throw you off of your walk. It's a test, believers. You don't have to worry about anybody or what they think about you. Just know that Christ loves you, and he's merciful, and he's graceful. And the law of Moses was a rod, a pointer stick. It was a tradition. You know, the tradition of the elders was not law of Moses. It was the oral tradition based on interpretation of the law. So they washed their hands and ceremonially to remove that defilement. Okay? It wasn't for hygiene. It was for the defilement. Go to Mark chapter 7, verse 2 and 4. It'll talk about that. But we see in the rabbinical style, you know, Jesus was quick to challenge these violations that they try to put on him. Now listen to this, man. It's crazy. Jesus is going to rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees for being obsessed with the traditions, because they fail to observe, excuse me, the basic commandments here. Now listen to this, believers. He answered them in verse 3, okay? And he said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Watch this. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. Now this is the law, right? Verse 5 says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need to not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And then here's the radical part. He says, hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and here we go, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And, you know, this is the problem today. We see so many churches teaching the commandments of men. They gather around and let me spend 8 hours studying for my sermon, 8 to 10 hours a day. It's ridiculous. I don't study at all. I went to college, and then I let the Holy Spirit lead, you know? And they spend 8 to 10 hours a day in their office chumming up these bogus, touchy-feely messages, how it feels good. That's what's wrong today with a lot of these giant churches. And believe it or not, here's the sad part, and Jesus was talking about this. Jesus has become a marketplace now. And all these false teachers and all these nasty leaders are going to be caught. Do you really believe, I'm talking to you now, leaders, do you really believe, you rotten false pastors, do you really believe that you're not going to get caught for what you did to Jesus Christ? You cowards, do you really not believe that God is not watching every dime that you steal from your sheep? You hypocrites. If you really thought you were about money, you've got it wrong. It's not about the money. It's real sad. You know, we see how Jesus was referring to the practice whereby people would dedicate their possessions to God so that they could use their finances for themselves and not for others. For example, if the parents needed money, the children could excuse themselves from helping because their resources were already dedicated to God. And this ruse kept people from honoring their parents by taking care of them in their old age. You see, Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for being so obsessed with traditions that they failed to observe basic commandments. And here, he was concerned with the external ceremonial washing and the dietary regulations. They fail to deal with character. And see, this is the problem today. You see, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." And so then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Well, of course they were, because they don't want shrimp. They don't want pork, which is fine. That's, they can, you know, live that lifestyle, especially Messianics. I don't have a problem with that, you know. But it's when we remove grace and Jesus and replace it with the law is when we have a major problem and a major obstacle. Then we don't begin to work. We begin to work our way and knock on doors, and it becomes a ceremonial, like a hand washing, where we have to work our way, knock on doors, help. We have to go out there and we work and work and work and work and work. And Jesus is like, "Bro, calm down. You don't have to work anymore. I died for you on the cross. My blood is sufficient enough. Rest in me. Rest in me. Seek me. Love me. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall be found." Listen, believers, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't got to work your way anymore." And so Jesus withdrew. Watch this. You're going to trip out on this, man. It's radical. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders." They are blind leaders of the blind. Can you imagine that? "And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Verse 15 says, "And Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us." Oh, I love this. You guys ready? This is radical. So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it's eliminated?" You know, it's the acids in the stomach, but he's talking something else. Watch. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with the unwashed hands does not defile a man." Woo! A lot of meat there, believers. Crazy. It doesn't take 8 to 10 hours to preach a sermon. It takes one reading over the sermon, one reading over the chapter, and the Holy Spirit leading the person. Blind leaders, they're falling in the ditches. Especially when COVID was out, the church has stopped, everything was over. And they fell into a ditch. I believe God separated and ruled out a bunch of churches he wanted out and kept the ones he wanted. Jesus is talking about basically bringing every thought into captivity into obedience of Christ, like it says in 2 Chronicles 10:5. And so you hang out with people, you become those people you hang out with. You sit with the enemy, and you sit, walk, and stand with them, like that book, Neiman Watchman, and you begin to act like them, like Psalms. You begin to want to, you know, drink with them, smoke with them. Eventually, you're going to smell the cigarette so much around them that you're going to want to smoke one. You're thinking, what's this have to do with the sermon? A lot. Because false teachers are leading false teachers. The blind teachers are leading the blind teachers. We see it. This has to do with Judaism, but it also has to do with Christianity. With Gentiles. They are blind. It's the blind leading the blind. And so we see this today in the churches. Not all of them, some of them. And they heap up their ears, itching ears. And so we begin to see where the debate happens, but we then start to see where the blind fall into the ditch. And then they start hanging out with them, and they start drinking, they start partying, you know, and they start, oh, a little bit, leaven, you know, leaven's a lump, compromising here and there. I'll be okay. God's good. He has mercy. Starting to believe their own lies. And, you know, I got to just, you know, I'll just only drink one. Oh, boy, I only had one martini, and now I'm feeling real good, and now I want another. Oh, a little bit of dab will do you. Oh, one more for the stomach. Oh, yeah, the Bible says wine is good for the stomach. Let me find more excuses. Oh, I'm having a bad day. Pop, let me have one of these Bud Lights. It's after all, it's light beer. It's not going to do anything. It's actually stronger than regular beer. I mean, anyways, what I'm saying is, believers, don't compromise. Stop compromising. Listen, we're going to end here, but listen, believers, stop compromising with sin, because the wager of sin equals death. You're out at the bar. Now you're going to go, oh, but I was just with them at the bar. I'm witnessing, and, you know, and I'm spreading the gospel in the bars, and oh, yeah, now you need to ride home. Oh, you're going to take them home now at 2:30, 3 in the morning, and then you get in, and then you guys, you know, something happens, and, you know, something major happens, an auto accident comes, and everyone's dead. And everybody died drunk. You see, we compromise, but we don't realize what's at the end of the compromise. It'll never happen to me. And that's what happens to millions of DUI victims, families. And I'm sorry for your losses, women and husbands and sons and daughters. I'm really, truly sorry that you lost your loved one due to a drunk driver. I'm very sorry. And may the Lord Jesus bless you. But we can't compromise, believers. We can't take that drink. We can't take that smoke. We start to act like that person that we're not. And that's what I'm trying to say in this chapter. A little leaven leavens a lump. The law is the law. You'll eventually backslide because the law can't save you. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus said, I don't got a problem with your hands. It's the way you think. I've washed your sins, Jesus says. I've washed your soul. I am the way and the truth, Jesus said. You don't got to worry anymore, believers. Yet nobody's perfect. And that's the other trick. The enemy tries to get you to think that, oh, you have to be perfect now. You have to be, uh-oh, he said a bad word. He's going to hell. No, I don't believe that. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. Believers, listen. If you thought it, you did it. If you lusted after her, men, if you lusted after her in your heart, you fornicated already with her, Jesus said. It is what it is, man. Get on your knees and get into the Bible and read and repent. Believers, we need to be in Jesus Christ's circle. It's the only way. Love one another, forgive one another, and stand with one another. This is the only way. Because soon you're going to be 50. Then you're going to be 60. Then you're going to be 70, and you're going to say, what did I do the last 30 years? What did I do? Or if you're already 70, congratulations. It's never too late. That's another trick. The devil tries to think, oh, you're 70 now, it's too late. You're 80, it's too late. No, it's not too late. I seen an old lady in her 80s the other day at a yard sale, and she was sharing the gospel of Jesus. And hey, there it is. She put a yard sale sign out and people started coming to her house and she was giving out Bibles. Oh, yeah, everything's a nickel. But she got blessed with all this money and she was giving out Bibles. Here you go. Hey, and this is for free. You see the seeds that she planted? It's never too late. You never thought about that, huh? The Lord loves you guys out there. Listen, it's never too late to be about Jesus Christ's business. And when you fall into those trials and you start sinking, remember, Jesus Christ is there to catch you no matter what you're sinking into. Get out. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. It's never too late to get out. Father, we come before you. We thank you for even allowing us to stretch out our hand, Father, when we're sinking. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we pray now that you, Lord Jesus, work your miracles, Father, this whole week. Bless my brothers and sisters out there. Bless the people out there that are listening right now online. Father, Give them Bibles, Father. We've asked for you a provision for you to give Bibles, Lord, to the people that need them. Father, we love you, Lord. We know time is short, and we know that you're coming soon, Lord. We see the end times. We see the signs. And we ask that you just continue to bless this country, Father, as it goes through the process of whatever it's going through, Father. We pray that you bless it in your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Listen, man, growing in his word, man, it's led by the Holy Spirit. And you know what we say, man. Log on to growinginhisword.com. There you'll find us. We're on every just broadcast system you can think of, man. God is in love with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Listen, man, this is free. The sermon's free. The donate button, there's nothing there. It's called donate to your next door neighbor, your homeless person. Give your tithe and offerings to the church that you desire. Don't give it to us. We don't want it. It's not wanted. Your money is against the law here. That you can bet on. No money, no donations. We don't want no 501c3. God bless you guys. Listen, thank you for growing in his word, man. I'm Pastor Yossi, and I love you guys. And may the Lord bless you whole this whole week in Jesus' name.